had a good Christmas. I love this time of year. It's in a very selfish way a great time for me. It is literally my one shot at presents. I had Christmas, and then my birthday was yesterday, so this is it. This is my shot at anything I might want anybody to give me. This was it. My wife and I have been married for over 11 years now, and I quickly became to realize two things. One, my wife is really actually a good gift giver. She likes to give good gifts. And two, that did not matter for me. For some reason, she couldn't figure out good gifts for me. I will say I'm not necessarily the easiest person to shop for because I just don't want a lot of stuff. So like little knickknacks or things or clothes or things like that, I don't want it, right? Yeah, I hear the laugh of the clothes. So yes, I'm with you on that one because my wife would go shopping for me and almost every year I'd open it and I'd be like, okay, great, thanks, you know, and this year, though, I began to think, like, you know, even this year as I'm thinking about hoping for some presents, my hope is never that my wife will get me presents. That's never where I'm hoping for. I'm thinking I will smile and nod and grin and be nice to my wife and hope that somebody else in my family actually got me something I wanted. And so my hope was always in my extended family, and usually it works out pretty well. But this year, some of my older daughters were old enough to go shopping with my wife on Black Friday, and my wife started looking at presents, and she was looking at things, and my two daughters thankfully were like, "Daddy doesn't want that." And my wife realized, "Oh yeah, Jonathan doesn't want that. I just want to look at him in that outfit." And that's a very different thing. And so that's usually how it goes for me. And so every year I've been like, no, I don't really think at all about what Erica's going to get me, my wife. I'm just hoping that somebody else would get something for me. But because of my daughter's very timely words, this year I was actually surprised. So I opened a present and I was like, wow, like I didn't ask for this, but this is great. Like this is something I wanted. And then I opened another present and I was like, this is also something I actually want. And then everything I opened from her, I was like, wow, like, these were all really good presents. And my wife was like so happy with herself. She was like, all right. And she realized I had to up my game because it's been like 11 years since I really got you something you wanted. So I got way more. And I was like, all right, now my like hope for presents is I'm like, oh, I could actually hope my wife will get me presents now. And so I hope you enjoy your Christmas as well. But today what we're going to take a look at as we go into God's word is, who are we hoping in for our lives? And where does that hope for our lives come from? And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 77. And you can feel free to turn there or bring it up on your devices if you'd like. But we're looking at Psalm 77. And this is just a cry of an individual crying out to the Lord about their life. And I'm just going to read this for us starting in verse 1. Psalm 77, verse 1 says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, through your footprints, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What's interesting to me is, as this individual is crying out, clearly their life is not going as they expected. They're in distress. For a season, they've been in distress. Things are not right. We don't know how bad it is. We don't know what's going on, but it's bad. It's bad enough that they're not sleeping. Life is not as it should be. What's interesting to me also as we look at this is that this is clearly not, from what we can gather here, it's not necessarily like I've done all these wrong, evil things and I know it and I must confess and repent. We see a lot of Psalms and a lot of scripture where that is the case, where people are saying, you know what, we did wrong, we're sorry. That's not what we get from the feeling of this. This is just clearly something is going on. The circumstances of this individual's life are rough. It's not good. And so this individual is crying out to the Lord, saying, God, where are you? I need you. And so when I see that, I even see here that this person is doing what they should. They're in their time of distress. They've turned to God. They've turned to really their who should be their hope and saying, I'm looking to you. But as you read this first part here, even as this person is crying out to the Lord, saying, God, where are you? My circumstances are still bad. My circumstances are still unchanged. How long will you reject me? He's still crying out to the Lord, and yet God doesn't seem to answer. In fact, as he remembers how God has been there for him in the past, it actually keeps him up at night. Because he's saying, I remember what you did, and it hasn't happened yet right now. In an instance, he's saying, I've received God's mercy in the past, and I'm thinking about how God has been merciful in the past, and I know that God can do it, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, why hasn't he done it yet? And so I'm still sitting here thinking, come on, what's going on? Where are you, God? And that's where this guy is writing this. He's saying, life is not right. It's not good. It hasn't been fair or just. It hasn't turned out the way I wanted it to. I don't know about all of you, but when we get to this time of the year, we often reflect on how this year went. And we begin to think forward to what this year will bring. And for some of us, we're looking back at this year and we're thinking, this was a great year. Like, everything that I wanted to have happen happened, and then some things worked out for me. Things were so blessed. And you're just ending this year with a smile on your face and you're rejoicing and you're like, that's great. For others of us, we're ending this year and we're thinking this year cannot end soon enough. Because this year has been hard and miserable and painful. And I just wish it would end, because then maybe next year will be better. And all year has been a year of distress. And so we resonate with this guy who's writing, and we're saying, yes, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on? And you know what? I think one of the first things we can pull from this psalm is that's okay. It's okay to acknowledge where you're at and where your heart is. And if your life has been rough and your life has been tough, to cry out to the Lord and go, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? To let him know how you feel and say, what's going on? I think God even wants us to do that. And so it's easy for us here to see that that's what's going on in this picture. This guy is saying, my life for a while, for a season, has been rough. Because my circumstances are bad. What I find interesting, though, is that he doesn't say, and then God delivered me. It doesn't say, And then my circumstances changed and God's blessing and his favor was here and all this good stuff happened. No, he says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. What's fascinating to me here is that nothing has actually changed for this individual. Nothing has changed, but he's decided, I am going to remember what God has done. I'm going to remember who God is, and I'm going to hold to that. And so when he even says here, miracles of long ago, the words that he described, for those of you who are here with us through the fall, we were looking at the Exodus, that's what this is describing. It's describing the parting of the Red Seas. It's describing God delivering and redeeming and rescuing his people from bondage and slavery and from certain doom and death at the hands of the Egyptians and parting this amazing scene of the Red Waters, and is written very eloquently here for us of this depiction of what God did. But what's interesting is that the person who's writing this is generation after generation after generation removed. This was not something they witnessed. This is not even something that their grandfather's grandfather would have witnessed. This is something that they've only heard about, talked about, something that they know that is true of God, of what happened, but not something that they would have personally had any real connection to. And so I find it interesting that this person in their distress says what? I will appeal to this. I will choose to remember who my God is and what he's done in the past. Not for me, but for others. For those I've heard of. I've heard of his works. And I will choose to remember that and place my hope in that my God is good. He's majestic and mighty. I will choose to think of those things, to let those things carry me through. See, I think a lot of times when our life is in distress, if we're honest, what we want is God to show up right now in this instant as fast as he can to change our situations and make everything go right. And if we're honest, if our situations don't change, we begin to doubt the goodness of God. If our situations aren't getting better, we begin to doubt God's promises and we begin to doubt who God is and we begin to think, well, because my life is rough and because I've been calling out to God and because God hasn't shown up yet, I don't know if God really can do the things he says he's going to do. I don't know if God's really loving. I don't know if God's really worth putting my trust in because my circumstances haven't changed and they haven't changed all year. And I think that's where a lot of us are a lot of times. Because in all honesty, for a lot of us, when push comes to shove, we're actually building our life more on our circumstances than we are on God. So if things are looking up and things are good, we praise God. God is good. God is great. My life was good. This year was great. But when things start to get rough and God doesn't show up, the praises for God seem to start to wane. And our hope and our trust in God begin to get eroded. We begin to think, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if I made the right decision by following God. Maybe I should look for a different way. And so even when we begin to think for a new year and whether this year will be good or not, we can kind of tell where our hope is by based on why we think this next year will be good. See, if you're looking forward to this year and you're thinking, I know this year's going to be great because I got a new job. Because that person in my job got fired and they left and now my life will be better. or whatever it is, whatever reasons. I have a financial security, my have a good family. We just had a kid, and the kid's now sleeping. For those of you who are parents who've got a new baby, that makes a better year. But of all the reasons that we have, or we're looking forward to, what will make this next 2020 a good year? And if all the reasons for why this year we're expecting it to be good are circumstantial, then your hope for a good year is based on your circumstances. Which is really a recipe for a bad year. Because when those circumstances don't happen the way you hoped for, then you're going, what happened to this year? If your financial security was your hope for a good year, then if you, God forbid, lose your job, you're going, what happened to this year? I think a lot of us, whether we meant it to be or not, a lot of our hope for our lives is built on the things that we can do. Our jobs, our family, our environments, our houses, our friends, our coworkers, the things that we can kind of control to some extent. These are the things upon which that we have decided to build our hope for our lives. That this is what I can do. This is what I can control. This is what is within my grasp. And so this is what I build my life around and build my life on. And so if these things are good, then my life is good. And if they're bad, then my life is bad. And so a lot of times I think we are in distress because they don't happen the way we want them to go. Because the reality is that control is more or less an illusion that gets burst all the time. Because there's very little that we can control in our lives. And so we get to a place where our circumstances, just like are written here, where we are in distress, life is not good. And it's at those moments that we have a choice. Your life is not going the way you want. Or even if, right now, as we think of a new year, maybe things have been going the way you want. But you have a choice right now to say, okay, what is this next year going to be about? What is my foundation? What is the source of my hope for life going to be on? We have a choice. Is it going to be my circumstances? What's going on around me? What has happened to me or what could happen to me? Or is it going to be on God? Even if your circumstances don't change, even if things are still rough and tough and you're still going, why have I been without a job for a year? Why has my kid not slept through the night? Why have I the sickness not left me? Why, you know, whatever it may be, why has it not changed? I've cried out to God. You still have a choice to hope in the Lord. And that's what this guy does. He says, I will make my appeal to my God. Why? Because even though he hasn't shown up yet in the way that I hope for, even though he hasn't done what I asked him to, I still believe that he's a good God. I still believe that he's a powerful God. I still believe that he is the God who does wonders and miracles and could show up in an instant to change my whole life around. And so I'm going to play. No? All right, there we go. I'm going to place my hope in him because he's the only one worth placing my hope in. He's the only one truly trustworthy. He's the only one really worth my life. And so I will place myself in his hands and trust that he knows what is best for me, even if I don't understand it. We have that choice. It's not about our circumstances. It's about whether or not we truly believe that God is enough for us. If we truly believe the words that are written in Scripture. See, just like this guy is looking back to the miracles of long ago, we have all the miracles and promises that we see in this Scripture to draw from, to take courage from, to take hope from, to say, this is who you said you were, you are, God. This is the things I've seen you do, as well as anything else that we've heard that God has done. Whether for us, our family, or for other people and other families. The sad reality is that often when we're in distress and we hear about somebody else getting something, instead of being encouraged, we're usually envious and spiteful. I can remember a time when my wife and I had almost no money and we were praying and asking the Lord to show up with some money. And I knew that God could do it. And I remember some other lady standing up for like a testimony in church and being like, I needed $2,000 and God sent me $2,000 in the mail. And everybody's clapping and applauding. And I was sitting there going, come on. Like, where's my $2,000 check in the mail, God? But I remember in that moment, I felt like God was like, I'm taking care of you, just different. But I wanted $2,000. But do you believe who God says he is? That he loves you? That he's all good and all powerful? That he is still a God who does miracles? That he can heal? He can deliver? He can do anything that he wants to do in your life? And he also knows what is best? That he has a purpose for you? Do you believe that? That God has said that we are all been created with works to do in advance? That there is a purpose for your life that God has ordained, that he has for you, that he has a future for you, that he wants you to walk into, and maybe part of that future means you need to suffer now. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But in the midst of that suffering, do you believe that he has a purpose for your life and that he could redeem your suffering? Because if you do believe that he's good and loving and has a purpose for your life, then that's where your hope can come from and who he is. And you can begin to say, you know what? My life's not good right now. I don't know what's going on. It's not what I hoped for. Or even if you're just uncertain and going, I don't know what is going to happen, I will choose to trust in the Lord, and I will choose to have hope in the Lord and allow his hope to fill me and allow his presence to fill me, to walk me through this season. Because I remember who he is and what he's done, and there is no one like our God. Do you believe that? I mean, not just saying it, because we will all say it, but do you really believe that in your heart of hearts, where you're saying, there is no one like our God, and he is worth my life, he's worth trusting in, he's worth placing my hope in, because there's no one like him. And even if I don't see it this year, and if I don't see it next year, he's still worthy of my hope, and he's still worthy of worship, and he's still worthy of my praise and adoration because of who he is. He's amazing, and there is no one like him. And if you can get to that place, like this guy, in the midst of distress, in the midst of turmoil, you can say, I have hope in Christ for my life. That it is going somewhere. That it will be okay. Whether I think it is or not, that God has a plan for me. Because he does. He is worthwhile. He is trustworthy. And he can be, and he's really the only safe place to place your trust and your hope in as you look forward to a new year. It's the only safe thing, only safe person to place your hope in for a good year, because he's good and trustworthy. He might lead you on a different path than you thought you wanted to go, but he's good, and it's worth it to follow him and to trust in him, because he is our source of hope for our lives. Some of you may know this, some of you may not. When my wife and I got hired about coming up in April, like 2 years ago here, we were actually pursuing to become missionaries. And that was part of the desire, that was part of the process of what we were doing, and we've been working on it for the last 2 to 3 years. And I especially was getting excited about the prospect of like, hey, we're going to go overseas. We're going to be missionaries. We're going to do all this stuff. And throughout the time, we was known. This is why we got hired, knowing that we would do that. And so even when we went to look for jobs, there's not a lot of jobs for like senior pastors who are going to leave in a year. You know, nobody wants to hire that guy. So we were really grateful for this church who's like, yes, we can bring you on, knowing that you'll leave in a year to 2 years. And so we were very grateful, and it was kind of one of the only opportunities available to us. But it was kind of like, hey, will you guys come on? We're not really sure what you'll do, but just come on anyway, and we'll find things for you to do. And so we've been in that, and we've been enjoying ourselves, but always with this thought in our heads that we're going to go overseas. And so we were working towards that and working towards that, and then along the way, we hit some roadblocks where it was kind of like, that doesn't work, and this doesn't work. And even into this year, where at the beginning half of the year, it looked like, oh, this is definitely happening. And so we started getting really excited. I started thinking like, hey, starting like around this time, like Christmas time, I'm going to start thinking through, okay, I have to start like visiting churches and stuff and telling them, hey, we're going to go overseas. We're going to do all this stuff. But then around the summer to fall, we hit some more roadblocks. And then we started asking the Lord, God, what are you doing? Like, you clearly called us to pursue this missions thing. You clearly asked us to go down this road. And yet we keep hitting this roadblock where we can't move forward. And it doesn't seem to be happening. And so we started asking God, what are you doing? And then we started asking like our friends and church leadership with us to pray and say, can you ask with us, what is God doing? Because we don't understand what's happening. And what we thought was going to happen isn't happening. And so we began to pray and ask. And then as we prayed and asked and sought the Lord's face, we really began to believe that God was asking us to stay. So we're like, okay, we're going to stay. So we decided we're here. So for you, as you regular attenders here, you're stuck with us. Hope that's okay. But we decided we're going to stay. And actually for my wife, who immediately like was taking over all the kids' stuff, had more work than she knew what to do with, and is like in her dream role and is like thriving and is like, this is exactly what I want to do. She was just like stoked and ready to go and like, this is amazing. But as I've this fall been kind of like, okay, we're staying now, I was kind of like, wait, I was prepping for a year of going overseas and a year of being a missionary and a life of being a missionary. And I've been suddenly like, I don't know what is in store for me now. Not that I dislike what I'm doing, but it's not necessarily a role I would have signed up for if I hadn't been going to be a missionary. I've been doing like redevelopment church planning work for 10 years as like a solo pastor. So I'm more used to all those things. And yet clearly God has asked me to stay. And so for me, as I'm looking forward to this next year, I started going, what am I going to do? Is this really what I want to do for the next year, 2 years, for the foreseeable future with what I'm doing right now? And as I'm in my flesh kind of doing it, I was kind of like, I don't want to just be a missions pastor. I think there's other things I'd like to do, but that's what I'm doing right now, so I don't know what it is going to be. And so I started talking with our pastors and stuff, and I started trying to create a bunch of roles that I might be like, well, this I would like, or this I would like, or this I could do, and to try and create all this stuff, and some of that with favorable discussions. But then as I was praying, I really felt like I heard the Lord say, pause, rest, wait. Then I began to realize that God was asking me to say, as you think for your new year, and the next part of your life, is your hope for your life the success of the role that you'll have? Or is it in me? And I immediately was like, oh, it's in you, God. No, I didn't say that. You expect your pastor to say that, right? Like, oh, of course it was God. No. In all honesty, this is probably still something that I'm wrestling with and working through and going, okay, God, What do you have for me? And I began to wrestle with the reality and still wrestling with the reality of, if my role here in this church never materializes into something that I necessarily would have said, that's my dream job, if I'm obeying Christ, that needs to be okay. If I'm doing what God has asked me to do, then my hope for my security, for my significance, for who I am, needs to come from who he is, not from what my situational job situation is. I share this with you guys because I want you to get that what I'm saying here is, whether it's a horrible year, you're in distress, or you're a great year, or anything in between, as we begin to look forward to this next year, if your hope is not coming from who God is and what he has done and who he claims to be, then it is misplaced. Let's place our hope in the Lord. He is our hope. And He will see you through each and every circumstance of your life, and you can rejoice in who He is. Don't place it in a job. Don't place it in a family or financial security or anything else this world offers, even if they are good things. Place your hope in the Lord and Him alone. And then you will be able to rejoice in distress. You'll be able to have peace through anything because He is your hope. Let's pray. Just want to give you, just kind of guide us through just some responsive prayer here for a moment. Just want to give an opportunity for those of you who this has been a rough year. Things did not go your way. Just want to give you a chance to cry out to the Lord and say, God, where are you at? What you've been doing? For those of you who this was a great year, take that same moment to just thank Him. But either one of those places, either thank Him or just kind of acknowledge before Him where you're at. Just do that for a moment. God, we acknowledge that we have not had the lives this year that we wanted. That things were rough. That we've doubted You. That we might still doubt You. We just give You where we're at. We say, God, would You show up? We thank You, God, for those of us who've had a great year. We thank You for Your provision and Your mercy and Your grace. God, as we move forward into this next year, we want to choose with every amount of us that is capable, we want to choose to say, we want to place our trust in You. We want to place our hope in You. We want You to be the source of the hope of our life. So that no matter what comes this year, it can be a good year in Christ. Trust in You, God. We look to You, God. You are our hope. Just want to invite you, in a second, we're going to sing a song as a response to this about how God is our hope, but just want to invite you, even as we sing it, to make it a prayer, make it a declaration, not just kind of singing the words, but to continue in that attitude of prayer of, as we're saying, we're remembering some of the things of what God has done for us, but we're also declaring that He is my hope. And may it be a prayer over this coming year. That He is your hope. Make it a declaration to your own heart. For those of you who have been in a rough spot, who need Jesus and need a fresh touch of the Lord, sing it to your own heart. Where you're saying, my hope is in God. Speak to yourself. Sometimes we have to do that, where we're speaking to our own heart saying, I need to hear this. So sing it. Sing the words of what He's done. Sing the words of who He is. Sing the words that He is my hope. My prayer for you this morning, for all of us, is that we don't leave this place wondering where our hope is. My prayer is that you leave this place with a renewed sense of conviction and peace and joy, that the Lord and the Lord alone is your source of hope.